Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Monday, March 4th, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, what's on deck for Congress this week? Number two, Senate conservatives get in on the leadership race. And number three, we've got the latest from the canvas. All right, Jake, let's get into it. It has been a week that we have been looking forward to reporting on, covering all the twists and turns, but government funding is going to be top of mind, as well as the president's State of the Union. Lots to discuss, as well as even Super Tuesday. Let's not forget that one.
Looking forward probably is not the term I'd use, but I guess that is true. Here's this is a big week. It's another shutdown week, although I don't anticipate the government will shut down. Last night, we'll start with funding quickly. Last night, we got the spending bills that are up this week. There are six spending bills up this week. $435 billion, 1,050 pages. And the House is going to vote on this on Wednesday. This is going to be voted on in one package, one gigantic package, a minibus, so to speak. This will pass. All Democrats are going to vote for it. It's going to come to the floor under suspension of the rules, which is a mechanism that allows that bypasses the Rules Committee, needs 2/3 majority to pass. Again, I think it will be a 2/3 majority. Now, everyone is spinning pretty hard right now, Anna. There are Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, said the Republicans secured key conservative policy victories, including cutting money for the FBI. Imagine hearing that 10 years ago, Anna. They cut the FBI's budget by 7%. A majority of that is because former Senator Richard Shelby had earmarked hundreds of millions, $600 million for an FBI building in Alabama the year before. EPA, 10% cut. That is also a little bit clunky because there are this is Superfund money that's being slashed. So, Anna, the State of the Union is on Thursday. That is the day before the funding expires, and I think it will pass. It needs to get through, obviously, the House and Senate. Should be through the House by the time Joe Biden comes to Capitol Hill to give his State of the Union.
Yeah, listen, this is a pretty big, I think, in some ways, win for Johnson. Clearly, you know, there's going to be a lot of agitation by conservatives, you know, frustrated that they didn't get everything they wanted. Some of the poison pill kind of more conservative policy writers didn't make it here. But the fact that he's able to thread the needle and get a package forward, and seemingly, you know, on Monday it appears that this is a package that's going to pass. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how many Republicans ultimately end up voting for it. And, you know, is it just kind of agitation on the right and frustration, and then they kind of go and move on and bellyache about something else? Or does this kind of, you know, is this going to be an issue for Johnson and his speakership? I think time will only tell there. Also important to note, publicly, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries and his lieutenants continuing to insist the House should take up that $95 billion Senate passed foreign aid bill for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and the Indo-Pacific. Two discharge petitions writing for signature this week. Going to be interesting to see how Democrats move forward on this. They are clearly trying to find a way to get the Speaker to bring up this Senate pass package, but so far no commitment there.
Yeah, this is one of the other big stories, the Ukraine funding. Let me put it this way. There's effectively zero chance that Mike Johnson is going to put the Ukraine package on the floor. Like, it's going to have to come up using some sort of legislative mechanism, either a discharge petition, defeating a previous question, something like that. And I don't make much, it's great reporting. I don't take seriously the fact that Jeffries will help, Democrats will help get a Ukraine bill through the Rules Committee. I take it seriously. I believe they will, but I just don't ever think we'll get there. I just think that there's no chance. But we are, this is going to be one of our main focuses is Ukraine aid. Because remember, with it's actually kind of a crazy month or crazy couple months because you have this government funding deadline. We have State of the Union, Ukraine, and then we have a funding deadline the 22nd. At the end of this month, that's the big one with defense spending, Homeland Security, et cetera, et cetera. And then we have FISA and FAA, which come up in the next couple months as well. So just a lot going on.
All right, let's move on to the number two story of the morning. A really interesting look at conservatives plotting their moves in the Senate leadership race. Of course, Mitch McConnell stunned many by making the decision and the public announcement that he was going to be stepping aside as leader after the November election. And now you have a lot of anti-Mitch McConnell hardline conservatives trying to figure out what their strategy is, how big of an impact former President Donald Trump is going to make in that race. But a lot of people floating different thoughts, you know, including Senator J.D. Vance, Trump's closest ally in the Senate, saying it's too early to make any judgment because it remains unclear who is running for the job. Though Vance and others have specifically name-checked Senate GOP conference chair John Barrasso when asked about possible successors.
Yeah, it's interesting to it's this is going to be a few things. It's this is a long leadership race, Anna. It is only March, so we have it's another like 8 months of this. A couple interesting things. Does John Barrasso, and we hint at this, or Andrew writes this, but Barrasso, there's a chance, I would say, I don't know how good of a chance it is, that Barrasso doesn't even run for leader and runs for whip. He would walk into the whip job, most likely. It would be an admission in many ways that, him wanting to effectively avoid a contentious run at the top. I don't think that Thune or let me put it this way. Two things that are important. Mitch McConnell's loyalists are still the number one faction in the Senate Republican Conference. That's number one. And number two, I don't think Thune is going to John Thune, who would capture a lot of those Mitch McConnell loyalists. I don't think he's going to run for the job unopposed. So a Thune Barrasso 1-2 would be I don't know about likely, but I could see that happening, and that would effectively freeze out John Cornyn, which we wrote about last week. So anyway, that it's a lot interesting that's going on here in terms of the positioning for the next 7 months, 8 months.
It is going to be, you know, as two people who spent a lot of their career covering these kinds of races, the ins and outs of them, typically it's a couple of weeks that members have, maybe a month or max two to put something together when it comes to a leadership race. But this is by far the longest that we've seen, and certainly Cornyn out aggressively, in the early days of this. So going to be something that we'll be covering very closely, particularly Andrew Desiderio, who covers all things Senate for us. Let's move on to the number three story of the morning. A really interesting look from the Canvas, of course, our monthly tracking survey that is anonymous of senior Capitol Hill aides. Jake, 3/4 of senior Hill staffers say Speaker Mike Johnson is ineffective in his role. According to our most recent survey, in all, 58% of Republicans, a majority of Republican staffers, and probably unsurprisingly, 91% of Democrats were doubtful of Johnson's ability to lead the House. This is an uptick from what we heard from K-Streeters on the same issue in January, where Johnson had they found that 56% of Democratic downtowners and just 25% of Republicans said he was ineffective.
Don't shoot the messenger. This is what the Hill believes. Listen, I think, as we've written before, Mike Johnson has a bad hand, and that's somewhat of not totally only of his doing. And I understand that, and it is. But he has not been. You know, I will say this: he has been ineffective at times. The last week or so, he's been more effective than he has been in the past because he's decided that he's going to govern with the majority of the conference, not hewing to the right. And I think that is an interesting sign that we'll see more of in the coming months.
All right. With that, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. Just a reminder, I'm going to be in Georgia interviewing Governor Brian Kemp. tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. You can watch it in person or on the live stream. We're going to be discussing news of the day. No shortage of topics there when it comes to Georgia and on Super Tuesday, and how private equity supports small business and jobs in Georgia. You can RSVP by going to our website at punchbowl.news, clicking on the events page. As always, please tell your friends about the Daily Punch. It's the best way to for folks to find out about us. Share it on social media. You can subscribe to our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.